This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. The power chord is the signature sound of hard rock. It's been popularized by artists like Jimi Hendrix, Pete Townsend, and Jimmy Page. But the pioneer of the power chord was a North Carolina native named Link Wray. That song, called Rumble, introduced audiences to the power chord in 1958 when rock was mostly defined by melodic tunes and a swinging sax. Then along comes Link Wray, punches a couple of holes in his amp, works out some fancy fingered on the guitar, and he changes music forever. Rumble and other Link Wray tunes have inspired countless artists, and there's at least one tribute band that's come together in his honor. Fat Links is a Chapel Hill-based ensemble. And it's our pleasure to have Fat Links with us on the show today. The band is Groves Willer on bass, Robbie Poor and Crispy Bess on guitar, and Colonel Dave Perry on the drums. Welcome.
Hey,
Fat Links. Good to have you.
Yeah, happy to be here.
And have some of you back again.
Yeah, oh yeah.
In this new... So Rolling Stone magazine calls Link Wray one of the greatest guitarists of all time, the man behind the most important D chord in history. Tell us, Crispy, how important is this guy?
Well, I mean, Link, I've been trying to put this into words because it's such a big thing. I mean, literally rock changed as soon... Well, Archie Blyer, who was the guy who put out Link's first single and then never put anything out ever again because he previously had like nice bands like Andy Williams and the Cordettes on his label. He basically believed that one listen to Rumble and your kids would start talking back and smoking cigarettes. I mean, it was that much of an impact. I mean, he introduced kind of rude. I mean, rock music was frantic before, you know, Link Wray came along. But Link introduced like rude, savage, loose, you know, I got your rock and roll guitar right here kind of attitude.
Right.
And that really changed everything.
Well, and rock and roll guitar. I mean, sax was in large part in competition with and perhaps the premier lead instrument.
Yeah, if you're going to have a crazy solo, generally the sax man took it. There were crazy guitar players before him. I mean, Chuck Berry, obviously, Ike Turner. But yeah. Link was not so much crazy as just raw. I mean, and that, I think that was part of it. And also, because it was just the simplicity of the way that he played also, I think, taught a million kids that they could listen to him and go, I could do that.
Yeah. Well, give us so the power chord. That's
the
thing.
Power chord.
So show us what that is.
Okay. Well, basically, I have to use Robbie's help, but previously, all guitar players kind of played like open chords. Like that. And then you had your fancier guys played bar chords. Play a G bar chord for them there, Robbie. That's a little nicer.
Yeah.
But then Link kind of simplified it down just to do a root fifth thing, which is kind of like this. So it's...
I'm wanting a cigarette already.
Yeah, which is...
Just slick my hair back and make me talk bad to my mother.
There you go. See the, but yeah, as you see, it also sounds very good with your amp turned up very loud.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Whereas a big chord, whereas an open chord... It's not quite as pleasant.
Yeah.
He is a little groovier,
yeah.
A little grindier, you know.
So what did he just kind of left out a string or two, or did he just didn't put a finger on a fret and didn't fill out that chord?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of the way he figured it out. No one really knows for sure. I mean, he liked to play loud. That was a big thing when we first figured out Rumble. They were trying to duplicate a sound they did accidentally at a party in Fredericksburg, Virginia, where. Link's brother Vernon put the PA mic in front of his guitar amp, which he didn't do back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the poor PA was all of like 8 watts or something like that,
right.
So it distorted.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we got to make that sound again. So he was always trying to get distortion, you know, and trying to copy that sound.
Did he really kick a hole in his amp to get that?
It gets mixed up. Actually, his bass player kicked a hole in his bass.
They stuck
a microphone through it so they could mic it that way. But Link actually, he took a pencil and punched a bunch of holes in his speakers.
Wow.
So that it would have that kind of trashy
And he's
sound.
Born and done, and he had born quite an upbringing. I mean, a rough upbringing.
Oh, yes, very rough. Yeah, I mean, he used to compare himself to Elvis a lot, and he said, if Elvis lived on the welfare line, I lived on the not-so-welfare line.
Uh-huh.
His father had been exposed to mustard gas in World War II and was pretty much just living on a compensation check when he could work, you know, otherwise working odd jobs and not very well at those. His mother was a full-bred Shawnee Indian who had been paralyzed in a fight with a white woman. The woman had kneed her in the back and left her paralyzed from the waist down, so all she could do is preach. And there wasn't.
I mean, this is the early part of the 20th century. Yeah, this is not a good time to be a Shawnee Indian in North Carolina.
Exactly. This is early 30s Depression era North Carolina, and it's not good to be pretty much anybody in Depression era North Carolina.
That's true too.
And
she's preaching, but not in the churches because she's an Indian. She's out in the fields.
She's out in the fields doing your field meetings.
And that's how he learned to sing gospel?
Exactly. Him, his brother Doug, and his brother Vernon all sang while she preached.
Oh.
And that definitely is where they got the showbiz bug, if you know what I'm saying.
Do you play a little sample for us right now?
Of
Link Ray, maybe you're going to do Comanche?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll need your help shouting on this one, Link. So, okay, everybody ready?
Fat Links live on the State of Things doing their tribute to Link Ray. So I'm going to go around the table here, but I'll start with Crispy and ask how you got introduced and how you found out about Link Ray.
Well, I was introduced to Link Ray officially by Mr. Rick Miller of Southern Culture on the Skids, who, as you know, if Link Ray wasn't his illegitimate father, we could certainly find evidence to make it that way.
And that's you've been playing. And the interesting thing about Link, it seems to me, is that he gets rediscovered. Because when I was in college radio in the early 70s, he had been rediscovered. And I was thrilled to tell my audience of eight people that I discovered Link Ray,
this guy who's behind
you. You know, you think Eric Clapton's great. Well, he goes back.
Right.
And that was 1971. So he gets rediscovered now and then.
Right. And at that point, I mean, he was going through his country revival, too. So you could even buy new records of Link at that point.
That's right.
Well.
He was still going. So, Robbie, what about you?
I first heard Link Ray, I think, back when I was still into punk rock, and so I never really heard about it. I was listening to his Descendants, all the bands that were based on that kind of stuff. So it was, I guess it was about in the mid-80s or so when I first heard Link Ray.
And he had a pretty profound influence on punk. You can hear it.
Oh, right? Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, once I heard it, I thought, oh, my God, what is this stuff?
I don't think there would be punk without Link Ray. I mean, he definitely gave everybody showed him the way, so to speak.
How about you, Gross?
Well, I guess I was about 19 or 20, and my roommate had a bunch of Link Ray albums, and I really liked them a lot.
Well, and when was that? I mean, just to give you an idea.
I guess this would be like the late 80s or the...
Yeah. Yeah, he just keeps coming up. This guy's go up and down. And he was still recording. What was his last record? Was not too long. He passed away.
I guess he did Shadow Man, and then the follow-up to that was, 1998, 1999 or so. So, yeah, so not that long ago he was still doing stuff.
Dave?
To be honest, I've probably got the least cool story out of everybody. I really didn't know who he was until I saw Pulp Fiction, which was probably, I don't know, whenever that came out, in like 1992. And I probably had heard that song in passing somewhere before that. But I just remember hearing that in one of the scenes and playing it on the guitar probably, I don't know, a month or two later. And then finding out who that was. And that's kind of how I was introduced to him.
And that movie was a big catalyst for Link coming back to America and doing more shows here.
Where was he?
He was in Denmark, is that right? Living in Denmark with his wife Olive, who was Danish.
Kind
of just sticking around to Europe. He was much more popular in England during that time than he was over here. But when
you got any crazy Olive stories?
I have some crazy stories about Olive, but we can get into that later.
Well, Link's life is just an amazing thing. I mean, he's out there playing, and he's that song Rumble that nobody wanted, and a lot of radio stations wouldn't play it because they thought it was going to increase juvenile delinquency.
It's interesting for a song that has no lyrics is feared for being too suggestive.
Exactly.
Yeah, people were like,
that shows you how.
Well, one of the suggestions was the title. I mean, it sounded Rumble was sort of violent.
Which was not a name that Link gave it, by the way. He just called it Oddball.
Oh, wow.
He's like, what's that weird song you guys play? You know, the name was given by Archie Blyer's daughter-in-law, who thought it sounded like West Side Story.
Oh, wow. Well, now, but speaking of Rumble and Oddball, mm-hmm. his solos were pretty wacky.
Oh, well, some of his solos are wonderfully brilliant. I mean, they're kind of rockabilly, taken to the next level. But he was always experimenting with different things, effects, and there's sometimes he would get into territories that were just out into Mars. I mean, he's one of the guys that if you had feedback or a whammy bar, he would just let it go crazy and see what would happen.
Well, we're going to play a clip from I'm Branded, which was become iconic.
Yes.
Let's play the solo. Sounds like he's messing with the tape speed there.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Can you play as whacked out as Link?
And we're going to try that right here
now. We're going to try that right now, yes.
Over at your house for dinner.
No, only Frank gets that.
I'm going to pick up this guitar, which is similar to one that he would have played.
Yeah, that is a 66 Yamaha, which is what Link played from the 70s pretty much until he passed away.
And I'm going to try the solo.
Okay.
And you guys are going to actually play the music.
Yeah, if you can play as crazy as Link does.
I'm practicing right now here.
All right.
Ready?
What it's like. We'll be right back.
met Lynx live on the State of Things with their tribute to Link
Ray. Ray.
And you're truly on the guitar, so you got to beat that this weekend.
Yeah.
Beat,
top play as awesome. Whacked as
Can
Frank.
Right, as whacked as Frank. All right. Thanks, guys. I want to leave you time to play us out. But first, let me tell everybody, Fat Lynx is Crispy Best, Groves Willard, Dave Perry, and Robbie Poor. Band's going to play a special happy hour tonight at Casbah in Durham. That concert from 5 to 7. It's free. Fat Lynx going to be at the station at Southern Rail in Carrboro Sunday, September 2nd for Jaws Fest. That starts at 2:30, followed by a Jaws movie marathon at 8. And they're going to be at City Tap in Pittsburgh on September 20th. For more information, check out Fat Lynx on Facebook. That's Fat Lynx, PHATLYNX. Thanks for listening to The State of Things. If you have a question or want to hear an archived edition, you can find us at our website, stateofthings.org. You can find a link to a calendar of events mentioned on this show. Our program is produced by Alex Granados with an associate producer, Sean Wen. Robin Copley is the technical director. Managing editor, Lindsay Foster Thomas. Susan Davis is our senior producer. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stasio. Once again, here's Fat Lynx.